Good evening, Patriots. On the 29th, actually on the 26th, you think I would know this by now, on the 26th to the 29th of August, we have Bard's Fest, which is quite frankly going to be one of the greatest moments in our history, if not the history of the world. And I don't say that lightly, nor do I say that in any sort of promotional way. This is a revival, and it's a revival of a magnitude we've never been able to imagine, because not only do we have people present, but we have the ability to stream it online to around the world. And with networks like Brighteon and Clout Hub and Lindell TV, all of those things streaming it, we have the potential of reaching literally millions beyond just the space of Bard's Fest in St. Louis, Missouri. Now, you can get your tickets for Bard's Fest, or you can donate to support Bard's Fest at bardsfest.com or bardsfm.com/Bard's Fest. Now, what's unique about this event, and I've talked about this over and over, but I'm just making sure everybody understands, is we've gotten rid of the normal ticketing. That last-minute change has caused a little bit of a problem because we finally got rid of Ticketmaster. I canceled them because I'm just sick and tired of these ticket agencies trying to mandate to us how they are going to do things, give their instructions on how performance is going to be done, and taking a fee on top of a ticket event, on top of an event that's forgot. So that allowed us to build our own ticketing platform, which we have on bardsfest.com or on bardsfm.com/Bard's Fest. And the tickets are what you determine you want to pay. It's what's ever on your heart. This is a Patriot-funded, Patriot-driven event. That means we're all working together to make it happen. And this is what's distinctly different. And we've seen it work in an amazing way. Patriots have reached out to make sure that others have ability to come no matter their amount. So on one level, we have tickets available for those that can't afford it. But equally, it allows us to do this to where we can say, look, whatever you can afford, establish your ticket price. If it's $5, that's fine. We've had whole ranges of prices. It's just stunning what people have donated. It's amazing. And it's all a donation from your heart. Or if you're not going to be there, we've equally had Patriots donate in amazing ways. So I'm grateful. We're all grateful. We want to thank you very much for everything you've done. This is making a different type of an event. This is our event. It's not an event to come and listen to and attend. This is our event to be participant of. And the beautiful thing about the donations is whether people are there physically or away, all of that love and focus on what this event is has been shared across everybody. And that's the beautiful thing. I mean, I am telling you, Patriots, sir, thousands of dollars have come in to make sure that anybody that needs a ticket can have a ticket. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's what's allowed us to restructure this whole thing. So keep the support going, because this is our event. We're trying to grow it and want as many people there as possible. And it is a very significant point in our history of the world. This is a time where we are literally calling together the remnant. And we're bringing it together to humble ourselves before God, to spend 4 days in celebration of His glory, and to be together in fellowship with a place for families to be there as well. That is so critical. This isn't just a Patriot rally. This is a rally, an event, a festival where we are putting God at the center of all things, and it is designed to have families with us together. And that's what we have been missing. We have to continue to keep this place going for families. And if we aren't raising up an environment where children get the experience to enjoy this and to experience what it's like to be around an event where God is at the center, how are we expecting children to model that in their life? So we have families coming, and it's really profound. On the 27th, Mike Lindell is going to be speaking, and that's the day we're proclaiming to be Slipper Revolution. So bring your slippers if you want. That's Slipper Revolution Day. And we're hoping that every single Patriot has bought a pair of My Slippers. That was the goal. Our actual goal was about 1 million My Slippers. We didn't reach that, but I'm still going to push for it because I think it's an important goal to reach. Mike Lindell has sacrificed an unbelievable amount for this nation, and it's unbelievable equally that a pillow guy would become one of the most dangerous people in the nation, according to the left. They think he's, they literally think that he's going to single-handedly destroy the world or something. He is kind of single-handedly destroying all their world, which is true. So anyway, we want to support him as much as we can. So you can go to frankspeech.com or you can go to mypillow.com. Frank, as in F-R-A-N-C-K, frankspeech.com or mypillow.com. And when you get over there, you can use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S, and that's your promo code for great discounts. So BARDS Fest, get your donate money for your tickets or donate to support the event. And mypillow.com or frankspeech.com with your promo code BARDS to get all sorts of great savings. Support Mike Lindell and his great company. And in the meantime, and in turn, it ends up supporting us too, because as you buy, they support us, which is amazing. This is tonight. We're going to start with Micah 7, 8 to 10. Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he pleads my cause and executes judgment for me, he will bring me out of the light. He will bring me out to the light. I shall look upon his vindication. Then my enemy will see, and shame will come over her who has said to me, where is the Lord your God? My eyes will look upon her. Now she will be trampled down like the mire of the streets. In this modern day, there is a love and hug aspect to our faith that I think, quite frankly, corrupts the intensity of our faith. Reading the Old Testament, and even reading the New Testament for that matter, there is an intensity of action that is going on. It's a commitment. It's a conviction. It's very living and visceral. And there's very real consequences from one thing to the next. And yet, when we see how the modern church is teaching it, everything is very mush. It's like there aren't real hard consequences for things. And that's not real. When we look at what happens when Sodom and Gomorrah, those are very real consequences. And when Lot leaves with his family and his wife turns around and looks back, what happens? She becomes a pillar of salt. There are consequences throughout that. There's a brutality even through a realness and a brutality even through the walk with Christ. I mean, all we have to do is go to the end where he's betrayed. And imagine sitting at that dinner where he announces that he knows that he's going to be betrayed. Imagine that moment settling in on his disciples, knowing that one amongst them was going to betray Christ. And worse yet, that several were going to denounce him. Those are very real. And the reality that followed from there was Christ's arrest, Christ's torture, and ultimately Christ's sacrifice. These are very real consequences in the stories of the Scripture. Even in what seems to be in a semi-innocuous moment when Christ is sitting in the back of the boat and the storm is coming and they're, teacher, teacher, we're going to be killed by the storm. And he stands up and says, peace, be still. There's a very powerful moment. You can imagine the storm that's raging, the winds, the rain. These are all, and these moments have consequences within them. I mean, consider Christ sitting in a town or village talking to prostitutes and tax collectors. Could you imagine the scuttlebutt that was going around about that? Could you imagine the things that people were saying or wondering or mocking him about? Because I guarantee it was happening. The Bible may not talk about it, but people are people. There's no way he was going to get on with having regular conversation with prostitutes and tax collectors without somebody making some comment about it. All of these things are consequences, and it's also courage. When Christ takes out, and this is just New Testament, when Christ takes out the whip and he goes in and flips tables and whips people in the marketplace, I mean, that is intense. Imagine him driving people out of the marketplace right there at the face of the temple. Imagine the size of those tables, because they're solid wood. It's not like you're going to go to Home Depot or Walmart and get some plastic piece of junk made in China. These are wooden tables that he's literally lifting and flipping with the wares going all over the ground. He's destroying people's income right before your very eyes. He's wrecked their reputation. People know who he is. If he's flipped your table, I can almost guarantee you, you're not coming back next week for more. And your family might actually starve or go without food or maybe not have enough money for the essentials that they need for a month or two or three, because what just happened could mar you for a long time. These were very intense moments that had very real consequences. When we get into the moments like David standing in front of Goliath, there's a ferocity in that moment. David has his stones and he's standing in front of a giant and he's courageous and he is unwavering. And in that moment, it is a life or death moment. Goliath's going to take his head or he's going to take Goliath's head. And he ends up winning. Jericho, 7 days marching around a city until the walls fell, and then they raided in. And what did they do? They slayed every man, woman, and donkey. Very real consequences. My point of all this is our faith has always been a faith about warring against evil. It's not been this milquetoast nonsense we're doing now, other than the fact that when you hear that, basically what you're hearing is some story that came out of the supper with the devil. Lucifer at some point in time pulled everybody in, and this is metaphorically speaking, and said, hey, come on around, sit around the table, let me have a chat with you. I'm going to serve you dinner. Would you like dinner? Is everybody like, yeah, I love dinner. What do I have to do? Don't worry. I've got everything taken care of. You just eat. And then in comes the next round. Would you guys like a dessert, like, or a first course or an appetizer? I'd love an appetizer. What would you like? You name it. It's all yours. How about some wine? Would you like some distilled spirits? Maybe a beer? You want the whole bottle of wine? I'll give you that too. And okay, well, how about the main course? What's the most expensive thing you want on the menu? And you go through this whole thing, and pretty soon it's like, okay, well, hey, how did everybody enjoy the evening? It was great. Well, here's the deal. We're just going to put it on your tab. And you have a tab, and you can come back here anytime and eat, but we're going to have it on a tab. And then when you get around to it, why don't you just pay it down a little bit, but don't worry about it. And I'll cover the first part of your tab, but the tab is open now. And that's how we got suckered in. Because our worship went from trusting in God to now everything, the whole bargain that was made there was like, now listen, folks, just don't worry about anything else. You use this as your restaurant. You use this as your dinner table. You come sit with me each night and I'll take care of everything. And don't worry about that tab too much. We'll take care of it down the road. I might have to ask you a favor once in a while. And when we do that, we'll knock that bill down for you so you don't have to worry about it. Or you can pay it off, but don't worry about it. Just ask me a favor once in a while. Just listen to the favor I ask of you once in a while, and I'll knock that bill down. And you're like, oh, that's a good idea. That's a really good idea. And so the trap is set. So what happens in that trap? Well, we cease to rely on God. And we cease to realize that who we're sitting with is the enemy. This is a war that they've been waging on us, and we've been walking into this trap and being convinced that this is just a easy and passive and love and hug everybody life. Their end goal was to exterminate us from the beginning. That was their end goal. So here we are. And we're struggling with this moment in time of like, well, what do we do? They're coming for us. Yeah, they are, by the way. Depending on where you live, I guarantee you there's plans being cooked up right now to take those that have the not taken the injection and try to identify them and separate them from society, and they would love nothing more than to stick you in a green zone. That's the reality of where we are. Whether or not that executes out depends on where you are, I would imagine. But it's, they're dreaming about it, and they're thinking it up. So with that said, you have one side of the Christian faith that just says, well, okay, just pray, and let's hope we can all get along. And we'll pray for their healing, we'll pray for their soul. I'm not going to do too much of that. I'm going to pray. And my first prayers are going to be for the strength of the remnant to stand up. And my next level of prayers is going to be the strength of the many that follow Christ to stand up. And then I'm going to pray for those that are willing to listen and to hear God's word to walk out of the darkness. And then I'm going to pray for a complete annihilation of evil. And that's it. Because this is a war. It is a real war. And if you think that it's not a war, then I would argue you probably haven't spent enough time reading the Old Testament to realize how vicious a war it is. Don't get me wrong, God can use anybody for his purposes, like Paul. But look at what Paul was doing before God called him. Hanging and beheading Christians. You see the reality of how brutal that was? Paul's strength as he comes back into God's world and God calls him into this world is he understands that brutality and then can fight it with his own spine and strength to stand up against it and to use God's word to guide a way through to ultimately send messages and attacks to the enemy that will ultimately defeat them. But it was the strength of understanding what the reality of the war is. Too many people have not grasped that this is a war. And if you have any doubts about that, just go outside and see some place and it was finally had a chance to be open and watch all these maskos run around and go, oh, look at this. Everything's good. I had my injection. Check out my spot on my arm. I'm so happy. Yeah, I had a rough couple days. It's all good. Don't worry about me. I'm happy. They are so deceived. The enemy has got them. The enemy owns them. This is a war. Get very real about that. And wars have consequences. And part of those consequences are that some rise and some fall. But in a bigger picture here, we have to ask ourselves quite frankly, what is it that we're seeking in our faith? What type of faith do we want? And that's an important point. And it's not really that, it's an ironic statement because God's not going to give us a choice. It's not going to be like, okay, would you like the gold package? Would you like the bronze package? And we have the economy package of faith. You're not going to get that. But you have to decide how you want to commit yourself to Christ. And that's what I mean by how do you want your faith? Nowhere in Christ's walk was it lukewarm. Nowhere in Christ's walk was it wishy-washy. There wasn't any issues of like, well, maybe this and maybe not that. And, oh, I think I can slide a little bit of this in here. And, well, God will still love me. And he doesn't mind if I peel off a couple things here that I'm not supposed to do. Or if I maybe sleep with this woman over here, that'll be okay. Don't worry about that. Just a little bit of adultery. Or, you know, if I'm a politician, maybe I slip in and I get some kid. Or no, sorry, that's not in the equation. When you commit to Christ in this walk, it is 100% in. And so in this time, there's never been anything more important than that is to give 100% to that. And that means letting go of the things that bind you and hold you. Creed low dollar. Here's a good one for you. Mr. Prosperity Gospel himself. Creed low dollar. Cred low, creed low. I literally sat with a pastor one time and he's telling me about Creedlow and I'm like, is anybody paying any attention to what's in his damn name? He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, dollar, D-O-L-L-A-R is in his name. Does that not ring a bell to anybody that might sound kind of Babylonian driven by nature? Yeah, it's probably Creflo. I always say Creedlo. Don't worry about it. It doesn't deserve the right pronunciation anyway. So anyway, it's right there. It's right before us. And literally this pastor was like, man, I'd never seen that before. I'm like, how can you not see that? But see, that's again this thing of like, I don't really want to say much about him. I'm a little hesitant to say much about him because why? It's wrong. I mean, pastors are supposed to speak up and be the shepherds. They're not supposed to have a limp spine and walk around like noodles and try to give in to everything. They're supposed to stand up and be strong because they are shepherding. And if you have a shepherd in the field with a real shepherd shepherding a flock, how do you think that flock's going to be if the shepherd's like, well, you guys want to go hang out with the wolves today? Ah, don't worry about it. It's okay. I'll let you go play, and I'll come back and pick you up afternoon. It'll all be good. Believe it or not, I think that probably be something like this. He'd get there and be like, man, what the heck happened? There were 50 of you when you came in this morning. There's only 20 now. What happened to the other 30? As the wolf sits on the side with a fat stomach licking its chops. All because the shepherd let them play. If we're going to look towards pastors as being shepherds, then they better do their damn job. And that means there better be some strength and backbone in this to point out where problems occur. Remember that Creedlo Dollar guy? The guy that had everybody pray and told them how important it was to get I think it was a $450 million jet or some nonsense like that. I might be exaggerating a little bit. But he had to have a fourth jet to fly down to Africa. And you're like, what? Why did you need that? Because I needed a fourth jet to go to Africa. It's like, I wonder how many plane tickets, first class, you could have bought for that. See, that's the sort of nonsense, and we turn God's word on its head, and we use it for our own benefit, and then we add to this other milquetoast version where it's like, I don't really want to say anything about him because he's a fellow pastor. No, he's not a fellow pastor. He's just speaking garbage about Scripture and just using it for his own lining of a pocket. It's like people being cautious to say anything about Franklin Graham. I'll say something about Franklin Graham. He sold his soul to the devil and tried to get people to give themselves an injection by blaspheming Christ and saying that Christ would take the injection. That dude deserves a one-way ticket to the lake of fire. So there has to be some strength in the way we stand. And we have to be bold and we have to be strong as we do it. So let me tell you a little story. And it all relates to this because we have to be direct at times. And sometimes when we're in that mode of walking with Christ, it's not always about soft shoeing everything and trying to make everything delicate. It's not like, well, let us all pray. Because sometimes we don't need to pray. Sometimes we need to rip down barriers, and we need to throw a grenade on somebody to make them wake up. And when it comes to this injection, that's exactly where I'm at right now. And I'm comfortable with it, and as far as I can tell, God seems to be okay with what I'm doing as well. Not like I got a report, not like I got something in the mail or I got a telephone call. Just through prayers, it seems to be okay. So here's the story. Had my Jeep worked on the other day. Got some new shocks. Adam changed the transmission fluid, that sort of stuff, right? Great shop, small shop, privately owned, downtown. Guys are really responsible, do great work. So I walk in, the owner meets me, we go on over, I'm paying for the work. And we start talking about the VAX. And he's like, man, and he doesn't get into all this stuff of like what's in it and what it'll do to you. He just straight up common sense. He's like, in the process, he says, man, he said, I would never take anything that was an experimental injection. He said, there's so many problems with it. He says, my sister took it, and then my brother-in-law took it, and he said she didn't have any effects, but he was in bed for 3 weeks, and he had pus sores all over his body on the bottom of his feet. He said it was horrible. He said, I'd never take the thing. So behind me is a woman sitting waiting for her car to get worked on, I guess. And she says, y'all are kind of making me feel a little uneasy. because I just took the vax. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Man, I can't believe it. So, and as I'm starting to walk out, she says, and she says, I'm scheduled to get my next one. Now I'm kind of worried. And I spun around and I'm telling you, it was guns blazing. As I said, lady. I said, ma'am, actually. I said, don't take that second vax. I said, it'll kill you. I said, here's the deal. I said, that injection you took the first time, I said, there's an mRNA that's man-made that was wrapped in a lipid nanogel that went into your shoulder and 15 minutes later was in every single cell of your body. By definition, right now, you are a genetically modified human being. Don't take the vax. And she says, well, what about Johnson & Johnson? I said, they're all the same. They're going to kill you in the end. I said, trust me, I'm trying to save your life. Don't take the vax. It'll kill you. And I said, if you have any questions about that, go look up Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and start digging and start awakening, because otherwise you're going to be dead. And I walked out. She was pale. My point is this. That's strength in God, to speak boldly in truth and to literally wield the sword of the Spirit, to wield that sword so powerfully that it slices through these nonsense idealisms that people are walking around with, and it leaves them stunned. Now, I'm not, a follow-up might be, you know, maybe if I saw her again, I'd say, how's it going? We'd pray, but there's a time, sometimes you just have to wield the sword and understand that this is warfare. It isn't for me always to pray with somebody, because sometimes God's going to intervene. And for me, in that moment, it felt just like that I just did what God wanted me to do. Man, that whole nonsense matrix she was living in just got ripped to pieces. It was broken and shattered. And God's like, I got this now. You go have a nice day in your Jeep. I'm going to take care of this one. I'm like, got it, Lord. I'm out of here. Slayer. It was a good moment. Face-to-face confrontations like that or engagements like that are so critical, because there was no question. I knew I was coming from a place of truth, and I could tell she could tell I was coming from a place of truth. And I'm not brutalizing her. I'm not calling her names. I'm not doing anything demeaning. I'm just laying truth. Now, why do I bring up all this? Because it sure as heck isn't about me, because that was all the Lord working through me, okay? This is the point. In our faith, if we're going to be a milquetoast faith, then we're going to do things like this. Oh, you took the vax? Man, that's not good. Do you have a moment? I'd like to talk with you and share with you a few ideas that I have that you might want to think about before you take that next injection. I understand that you've made your decision, and that's okay. But I would like to share with you a different way of thinking about this, a different perspective that might change, might give you some things to think about. I don't want to step on your toes. I'm going to walk all over your toes. This is Jericho, man. And we're fighting for the soul and savior of humanity, because they're about ready to wipe it out with this injection. And I'm not going to sit by anymore and go, yeah, well, you know, hey, patty cake, how's it going? No. We've had that 5 years to do that. And these people all had this. Here's another thing. At this point in time, if this person has just taken the injection, they already know that they shouldn't have done it. They're sitting there on the fence going, I don't know if I want to be out on the crowd. I'm still thinking, you know, sure, it'd be nice to go with Sally over to that restaurant that they are saying I can't go unless I have an injection. And I don't want my girlfriends to think I'm weird. That's what you're talking about. It is time to be direct, to be strong and not malicious, not angry, because I wasn't angry. I was just truthful. That's the strength in our faith. And that's the strength that we need more of. Literally, when we talk about standing up, that's standing up. Because there's way too much of this milquetoast nonsense going on here of, you know, like, well, we can all get along, hold arms and sing kumbaya and it'll all be better. And oh, by the way, if you've taken the injection and we hold arms, you get to shed your mess to me. Oh, how good. I'll pray to God and say, hopefully that'll be okay. That's garbage. Here's another brutal reality for you. Let's say that someone decides to start an airlines that's for non-vaxxers. Do you realize that if they do this, they're going to have to be very strict about not allowing vaxxers on? Why? Because of the way the system works, if someone who took the injection gets on that plane and they go up in altitude, and with the way that affects their capillaries, there's a possibility that they could die of heart attack. Can you imagine being a new airline trying to compete against the cabal, having a vaxxer on board that died of a heart attack caused by an injection that they took? But guess where that blame would go? That would go right back onto you. The point is that we are going to have to get rigid and strong in what we expect and where we stand. Where we are facing coming up here, outside of a God-level event, and I'm not telling you it can't happen, but until it does, we have to face a reality. The potential right now is where this is going is there's going to be 2 billion people dead on the face of this earth. 2 billion in the next 3 years. And that's a big pill to swallow. And we naturally pray that that won't happen. But let's go back to the Bible. Like, that's probably a good reference point. There are consequences for humanity walking away from God. And we keep wanting to live in this la-la land like there isn't. We have to have the highest level of discipline in our worship of Christ and our walk with Christ and our relationship to God. It has to be unwavering. It has to be more disciplined than it is you've ever imagined it to be. Because it's no longer any time to wiggle on this. This is game time. We're in the fourth quarter. We've got 3 minutes to go. We are 2.5 touchdowns down, maybe 3. And we have the ball, and it's third down. You see where I'm going with this? And if we don't look at it like that and get serious about it and start getting some backbone to our faith and understanding that what we're talking about, what we're standing for, has to have conviction when you stand for it. Stand, press into this fight, inform people directly about what it's going to be, and you don't have time to dance around the subjects. Because Christianity has never been about a delicacy. It has been about a strength in who we are, a greatness of strength within the root of Jesus Christ and our relationship to Father. And that is a powerful moment. That is Christ working through us as a mighty warrior. Look at the size of the army they had to send in to pick him up. One man. They understood his conviction. They understood his strength, his power. We walk in that path. It is an unwavering path. It isn't like, okay, I'm going to walk in this path, but when I run by that gambling spot, I'm going to jump off the path real quick. I'm going to run in. I'm going to run about $20 in slots, and then I'm going to jump back on and get right behind Jesus, and I'm going to run until I catch up with Jesus, and then everything's going to be okay. No, sorry. It don't work that way. It is a powerful faith to walk, a strength that we walk, and a conviction that we walk that makes the difference between who we are within Christ and who we are without. With Christ in our heart, there is no fear. And there shouldn't be any hesitation about what needs to happen and what the mission is ahead. I say these things because we are literally sitting on the precipice of the end of humanity as we know it. I'm not telling you it's going to happen. I'm not trying to sound like the sky is falling, because it's not yet. But these deaths are happening right now as we expected. You're getting, the other day, Dr. Tenpenny told me that she had a friend who lost 5 people within a span of about 48 hours, all of sudden heart attacks. And there was another friend of hers that contacted her that said they had 10 people in a nursing home, same period of time, that all these people were vaxxed, by the way, that had 10 people in the nursing home suddenly die of heart attack, heart failure. You see, that's what they've been predicting the whole time. And of course, they don't get listed that way. They're going to get listed as something else. The injection's killing people by design. And these, this isn't accidental. It's not like, oops, we got the formula wrong. Oh, damn. Fred, did you put in the mRNA? mRNA? Are you serious? I thought you told me to put in chlorine bleach. No. Didn't do that, did you? Yeah, I did. Uh-oh. And what's that on your desk? That's rat poison. I thought you wanted that in there too. No. I mean, that's not what you got going on here, okay? It's not like an oops moment. We forgot to put in the wrong ingredients. These are the most sophisticated labs on the globe with the most brilliant scientists we've ever created. Do you think that they have made a mistake in knowing what this damn thing's going to do to you? No, they're really clear on what it's doing to you, and it's not good. And they've spent a whole lot of time designing what it's going to do and how to hide it. Because they don't really want you to know. And so people dropping dead, they're like, well, that was pretty easy, Fred. What happened? Well, we just gave them a little injection, and man, this is doing pretty well. We've got about 48 hours, and they should be on the ground dead. Well, that's fantastic. How long did it take you guys to do that? Well, it was this magic formula we came up with took us about 10 years, but once we locked in, that's who they are. So if we're going to go through life and we're not going to be strong as Christians to stand up and say, there is no way you're doing this, and start being bold to people in our world to let them know the truth, how are we supposed to get through to them? I mean, if you're walking down the street and you're going into places and you're not willing to have engagements with strangers and be truthful, respectful, truthful, but powerful in that place with Christ, how are we going to move the world? Here's a simple one. Are you willing in public to say some version of this, that you're a warrior for Christ? Can you proclaim that? Can you proclaim Christ as your Savior openly? I'm not telling you to go to the street corner and shout it. Maybe you should. I don't know what God wants you to do. But my point is, that's the strength where it begins. Not living in the shadows anymore. Strong, leaning in, letting people know. It's like, hey, dude, you know what? I know who my Savior is. It's Jesus Christ. And I know who my God is. It's the one God and the living God. And it's through Christ to the Father. And we've got a really good relationship. And if you don't want to believe that, that's okay. But I'm going to tell you what. The next time you see me, I'm going to be standing next to the elevator that says down and goes to the lake of fire. And I'm going to push you in. I'm going to push the button down. I'm not even going to give you a bottle of water. And it's going to suck down there. But that's okay. Because you're righteous in your own ideology of hate and fear and Luciferian orders, and I'm righteous in my love of the one God and the only God, the only true God, and I know who's going to win, and it ain't you. See? Pretty simple. This is the sort of strength that comes from that being a Christian, and it's the strength that also understands that there is an enemy we have to fight. It is evil. And God has no love for evil. There is absolutely no reason that you can't be this bold, because why? We've already been given everlasting life. What a good deal that was. So we have to move forward on this and aggressively, because the clock is ticking. There is no more time. We are moving an army to St. Louis, Missouri. That army is going to be migrating down as a remnant upon that location called the Drive-In St. Louis Power Max or Powerplex. We're going to have a whole big event there, and many patriots, thousands of patriots, I hope, will show up. And there'll be thousands, hopefully millions online. But this is about getting your fire in you again, getting the fire about the love, the passion for God. That moment when David told Goliath that he was not going to defile his or defame his God anymore. That's what we're talking about. And to be bold against anybody that does it. Because when you stand with the strength of God before people with that moment, there is nothing that can defeat you. So, we have to make that connection, and then we have to make that conviction. And we've got to get back to being the warriors which God intended. This has always been a war here, patriots. It's never been anything other. And we can no longer try to hide the fact that we are now in an open war, in a war that has been going on literally for thousands of years. It's the war of good versus evil. And the prize is our soul. And I have no intention of letting them get their grubby hands near mine, because mine's already bought and paid for. It was bought and paid for in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And God Almighty now has given me an opportunity to join him through the love of Christ Jesus. And the temple, which is my body, is God's. And I'm simply stewarding it to make sure it's good until I'm done. And there's nothing they're going to do to corrupt that. Be strong. Be bold. Be heard. And be all those things in the glory of Jesus Christ and our Father, the one God, the living God, the one true God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you each day that we come together for these blessed times to reflect very deeply on our role and the meanings and the teachings that you give us as Christians and believers in Christ Jesus. Lord, we're humbled, truly humbled by all that you give, by what you guide us to be, by all that has been given to us to ensure our life everlasting. Lord, on this path, let us not waver, and let us start to embrace and feel the strength of conviction it is to walk in that path of the warrior, the path that leads us not to wander or that path to doubt, but that path of absolute strength and clarity of what stands before us. We'll be defeated if it is evil, to be able to confront evil with decisiveness and crush it, to be able to walk with grace and compassion for the many that still wander and to bring them home. And in the process, as we walk this path, to truly be the real remnant, the true remnant that has the compassion in our hearts for the many that need to be found and need to be brought home, and the righteous indignation in our heart for the evil that wants to destroy them or hurt them. Let us balance those two to be truly the warrior that you desire us to be, so that we can defeat this evil, restore this nation to the foundations of In God We Trust, and to put you back on the throne above all this land. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. This fight is intense. It's going to wear you down if you don't stay close to God. Get your fire under you, because this is a fight that we have to press through, and there's going to be a lot of difficult moments. But it's through the strength in our prayer and our relationship with Jesus Christ that we are able to withstand the onslaught of stupid, which is all around us. And it's through that moment of being that rock in amidst a meandering flock of old sheep, that we can now stand there firmly, unwavering, and that slowly they begin to realize the power and the strength of Christ that runs through us, and they begin to listen. And as they begin to listen, we begin to transform a world. Keep your prayers up. Our prayers are our bridge to God, our foundations at which we walk, and our connection with each other on a deep, deep level. In the end, God wins. And I intend there to be there, probably my feet up on an ottoman, and we're sitting in a rocking chair, a little bit of popcorn and a couple of bottles of water, and watch this show that God's going to put on to wipe out evil. Yeah, that's right. In the end, God wins. Have a blessed night, Patriots. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Good night. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through. Fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now. I can see it now. We're on the edge. sets down over the hill where the lost got found. Reaching through somehow, oh, you're an island when the world is too loud. When the seasons change, I know the space between us will stay the same. Resting on this faith, when your soul answers calls far away. Safe place to hide from the rain.